today I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your promises today, let us put our trust in them so that we may walk together into the future that you create for us in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'm proclaiming good news from God's Word, that as we hear the promises of God in Christ Jesus, and as we place our trust in them, that God brings us into a future that he is creating. Now, I grant you, this sounds rather abstract. So I'll start today with an everyday example, a real flesh and blood example of God giving promises that people then trust, that then establishes a future for them. Something that you've probably seen, maybe experienced yourself. Let's say people come to this church, a young couple, and they stand at the front and make their vows to each other, to be faithful to each other as long as they both shall live. They can't see the future yet. They can't see God. What they see is each other. They hear their promises being made. It's like they're making an appointment with themselves in the future. More than this, they hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Do you know those famous words come from Jesus' lips? It's Jesus who said that. That's a great promise that Christians can receive in marriage. What God has joined together, let no one separate. So there's the promise, and there's the couple. Their future is unknown, but as they hear the promise and as they place their trust in it, God brings them into a future that he creates. Will there be suffering in their marriage? Yes, there will be. Will the path be smooth? Not necessarily. Jesus promises his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. But we can know that as people hear the promises of God in Christ Jesus, that as they together trust him, that God establishes a future that could not be guessed at by human strength. And we see that the life of faith is not an idea, but a reality. And although we can't see God, we can see the life that results from trust in God. Now today, that's what we're hearing about when it comes to our father in the faith, Abraham, because he receives a promise from God, but a promise that does not yet seem to be fulfilled. He has questions, perhaps you could say doubts, perhaps even complaints for God. The path is not smooth. There is suffering. But God does not give up handing on his word to Abraham. And Abraham does not give up placing his trust in the promises of God. And then we see what happens, that life is given and hope in our world. Let's go back a bit, first of all, before we move into our Genesis reading for today, because the book of Genesis is a wonderful, strange and mysterious book, especially the first 11 chapters, which open with this grand cosmic scale. There is creation from nothing. God said, let there be light. And there was light. We hear about things like Noah's Ark, things like the Tower of Babel. Again, these grand world scope events. But then by the time you get to chapter 12, the focus narrows down onto one human being, Abram. He's called Abram at this stage in the narrative. Abram means something like exalted father. Later on in chapter 17, his name will be changed to Abraham, which means something like father of many nations. But as this focus on the one person starts in chapter 12, we hear these words. Listen. Now the Lord said to Abram, he's introduced here, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now this is a great one-sided promise of God to Abraham, and it sets the scene for the chapters that will follow. Abram and Sarai go to Egypt. Abram and Lot go their separate ways. Abram and his men rescue Lot from captivity. Melchizedek blesses Abraham. All these things happen. Yet in all this, there's still no child. It seems that God's great promise is nowhere near to being completed. Abraham is not yet a great nation. And it still seems as if it will never happen. It's then that we read the words from today's Genesis reading. Here's what we heard. After these things, these events I just described, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Do not be afraid. By the way, those words, and in Greek exactly the same, were in today's gospel reading. Our Lord says to us too, don't be afraid. These are the words spoken to our father in the faith, Abraham. God reminds him that he'll be his shield, that his reward is very great. But from Abram's point of view, there's still the question of the fulfillment of the promise. So listen to Abram's response. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You might think that question to God is clear enough, but then there's this curious repetition. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. So on the one hand, there's the promise of God, and then there's the trust that Abram has already exhibited. But there seems to be no action on God's part. Now think about this in relation to our own lives. We've heard God's promises, right? This is part of our life together as Christian people. We have heard them, maybe even since childhood, and we've trusted the promises of God. But it can sometimes seem that the fruit of holiness is not growing, or growing like we expected, or growing as we might have hoped, and we can feel like giving up, right? This is a Christian experience. But from Scripture, we know that to maintain faith, we need to hear promises of God spoken to us again and again. This is why God sends people into our lives to speak his word to us. It's why I stand here today in the pulpit, why you've called me to serve as a pastor, so that I can, week after week, proclaim the promises of God to you, so that together we don't fall into despair, but live in hope. Now this repetition of the promise of God coming to Abraham, to remind him of his status, to remind him of the promises, this is what we hear about in today's reading. And God does not upbraid Abram for his question or for his complaint. Rather, he again restates his promises in clear words and in actions. So this is how our reading goes on. But the word of the Lord came to Abram, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. The lack of children has not nullified God's promise. He has not gone back on his word. And then God gives Abram a visual encouragement. God brought Abram outside and said, look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. I was up in Karlsruhe recently in the countryside, and at night, no moon around, I saw these stars and the number of stars. And I must confess that whenever I'm in the country and I see stars like this, I do think of this promise given to Abram. It's not possible to count the stars. And God gives his promise not simply in words, but also in actions with visuals, you could say. Well, Abraham hears these words and he sees the stars and he is confirmed in his faith. Abram, the text says, believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The Lord received Abram as a person in good standing with him, and he brought Abram with him into the future that he was creating by his power. Now this last verse from today's Genesis reading is in fact a key verse in the New Testament, picked up by St. Paul, picked up by St. James. In fact, St. Paul quotes it, especially when he wants to make clear that we do not come into a good relationship with God by what we can do, but simply by receiving in trust what God has done for us. So in Romans 4 we read these words. This is Romans 4, verses 1 to 5. What are we then to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. There's the quote from today. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. Think about those words again. Who trusts him who justifies the ungodly. Maybe you felt ungodly in your life. Wondered whether God even wants to have anything really to do with you. God justifies the ungodly. He did it for Abram, right? Our father in the faith, who received the promises not because of what he'd done, but because of the grace of God. And trusted not in his own works, but in the promise of God. Listen to what St. Paul goes on to say in chapter 4. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. We will be reckoned right with God. We will be brought into the future that God is establishing, not because we are naturally godly, but because God is righteous, and because God shows his righteousness, especially in forgiving sins, in having mercy, in bringing us with him into his future. There is scholarly opinion, by the way, that in this Genesis reading, Abram showed his faith, that he expressed his assent by using the word Amen. At least, apparently, from a scholarly point of view, you can go back to look at covenants from back in that time, and the way that one assented to the covenant was by using the word Amen. It's a word that we use here, right, in the church. One of these words which we don't translate into English, that we stick with because the word has a function. It has a power. When we say Amen, we ourselves are saying yes to God. Now you may know about me that I love using the word Amen and encouraging the congregation in the use of the word Amen. It's a great word that we can use as we hear God's promises to tune in right now, to assent right now, and by our use of this simple word, to walk into the future that God is creating for us. So, for example, when I, in my pastoral office, proclaim to you the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, you can simply say, Amen. We can't see God, but as we trust in the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, we walk into the future that God is creating for us, that indeed may have suffering as part of it and difficulty as part of it. But when we carry our cross, we never do this alone, because our Lord Jesus is with us. Today also we'll be coming to the Lord's Supper, where you will receive the body of Christ, where you will receive his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You there too can say, Amen, this is the body of Christ, Amen. And you know that if I hear you say that, I'll say it back to you. We are together walking by faith in the promises of God. Can we live by faith without God's word, without God's promises? It's not possible. Human strength cannot walk into God's future. Abram, our father in the faith, could not go down that path by his own works, but by the promises of God, which God brought to him. God brings his promises to us, so that we may listen with our ears, so that we may confess with our mouths, so that we may believe with our hearts, so that we may stand with that great multitude of faith, so that we may see the future that God is creating for us. May God do this for us by his strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.